So why don't you sue me? Huh? You got a problem? You got a problem with what I'm doing? Sue me. You ever heard that attitude before? Yeah. I think we're going to hear more and more of it as the days progress. I forgot about the sue me thread that runs through the Bible until I started looking at this Micah 6, 1 through 8. Thank you, Drew, for reading that. You got some names in there. You did very well. Of course, I always think of Micah 6, 6 through 8. You know, O mortal, and what is it that the Lord requires of you but to do justice, love, kindness? I forgot about the first 5 verses, which are a little different. It starts with God basically saying, hey, you got a problem? Sue me. It's a very common tool used in prophetic literature. It's called a covenant lawsuit. Yeah. Did you know that? It goes way back, this litigious thread in us wanting to sue. So God actually just kind of takes it up, says, okay, you want to do that? I'll go to court with you. Careful what you wish for, people. Because when you sue God, guess who's the judge? Guess who's the jury? Guess who's the witness? Guess who gives the sentence? Yeah. Right? So this particular courtroom drama begins with my favorite part of every courtroom scene. All rise. Right? He literally says, rise. Plead your case. All rise. The honorable. Yahweh. Adonai. Elohim. God. In the courtroom of the Almighty God, you may rise. And you may plead your case. And I love God's going to call, you know, a jury of his peers. And who is it? Where do you look for a jury of God's peers? The mountains, the earth, the foundations of the earth, the hills, you know. Think big. If you want to sit in front of a jury of God's peers, you're going to be surrounded by big, right? Foundational stuff, mountains, the earth. So it's a little intimidating. I don't know if God's really trying to intimidate us or just calling it like it is, right? You got a problem with me? You want to bring me to court? Fine. Meet the jury of my peers. Everything that's bigger than you. I don't mean to intimidate you or scare you. I'm just telling you like it is. And then God begins to, so the tricky thing here is Micah is playing all the parts, right? He's the prophet. And so all the words come out of Micah's mouth. It's hard to see sometimes when it's God the plaintiff or God the defendant or you and I or Israel, the state of Israel, where they're being called to witness or the plaintiff or the, you know, whatever part it is. But God goes on to say in verse 3 through the prophet Isaiah, O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. In other words, what charges do you bring before me? And he's anticipating what they might be, so he skips the part where they get to answer and give the charges. Instead, he just provides Exhibit A, Exhibit B, and Exhibit C in his defense. Prior to hearing what the charges are, right? What he's being accused of. I think the assumption is he's being accused of unfaithfulness. He's let them down. He hasn't given them what they want. So, right? Wah, is that what you say? Wah. Yeah, basically that's the charges. Wah. So Exhibit A. Anyone see what Exhibit A is? In a word, it's Exodus, right? I brought you out of slavery, out of the land of slavery. I delivered you. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. And part of that, second part of Exhibit A, I gave you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. How wonderful that it's a family affair, all three in the family, two brothers, a sister. I love that Miriam gets named, and you know, it's a equal opportunity employer that God is, and uses all the gifts of all the people to bring about that deliverance. And then if that's not enough, he gives them Exhibit B. It's a little more, it's kind of obscure for us. We all know the Exodus story. And we all know the wandering in the desert, and we all know they make it into the Promised Land. There's this thing about King Balak of Moab devised what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. But basically, this is another instance where someone was asked to curse God, and he refused to. So what the exhibit is what faithfulness looks like in kings and servants, what faithfulness looks like, and what disobedience looks like. Because one of the king wanted Balaam to curse God, and Balaam refused to. So Exhibit B, faithfulness. Exhibit A, liberation. Exhibit B, faithfulness. Exhibit C, remember what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. Again, these are obscure references for us. For the Jews, it probably rang a bell. You know what this path is from Shittim to Gilgal? It's the path they took at the very end of their 40 years in the desert. That's the path that crosses the Jordan River. So from wandering into the Promised Land. So I delivered you out of slavery. I gave you faithfulness and steadfastness. And in the end, I brought you home to the Promised Land. Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C. Any questions for the witness? Any questions? Any further testimony? Do you want to try to interview the witness and trip them up and try to change their story a little bit? Do you want to bring an expert witness in of your own to try to come up with a better story, one that fits the facts better than this? I don't think so. There's not a lot of room for that here. So it's in that context that we then move into Micah 6, 6 through 8. I didn't really make this connection before like I did today. With what shall I come before the Lord? We're no longer the judge here. We're no longer the plaintiff, being God. It's us. It's you and me here. Okay, with Exhibit A, B, and C, those are hard to argue with, and we've been convicted. We know that in this controversy with the Lord, we're the ones who are at fault. So what's our immediate response? What's it going to cost me? I have a feeling there's going to be a sentence here issued in a moment. How can I make restitution? What's it going to cost? What shall I come with? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Maybe a nice calf, a year old. Is it going to cost me more than that? Is it going to be thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? That's not enough? Am I going to have to give up my firstborn son? Ouch, it's getting, see how the price is just getting, we're trying to move to the bottom line, and it's getting harder and harder. What am I going to have to do to pay restitution? That was us, and then we get the answer. An answer we probably heard before. He assumes we already know. He says, he has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What is our restitution? How can we pay our debt to society? Anybody know? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Isn't that something? If you're one of these people who always thinks, oh, the Old Testament, that's such a downer. It's all judgment. It's all bad news. It's a violent God, and he's always seeking retribution. Just a reminder that the Old Testament, like the New Testament, is full of God's mercy. You see the court. You see the case before us. What could have been restitution, he could have demanded 1,000 rams. He could have demanded our firstborn son. But he doesn't. He only demands that we do justice. that we love kindness, that we walk humbly with our God. Another interesting connection here for me, I didn't realize it until in Bible study, we've been looking at the fear of the Lord. And just running through from Genesis to Revelation, all the times that fear comes up. And sometimes it's a negative thing, and sometimes it's a positive thing. Quite often it's do not fear, be not dismayed, take comfort, take heart, have courage. But sometimes, it's interesting, there's this fear, and fear in this context usually is about awe and respect and reverence, and it's not shudder like in terror, like God's going to smash you like a fly. And I found this verse in Deuteronomy that I think will sound familiar to you. Listen to this. So now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Interesting. The prophet Micah seems to know his Torah. Big surprise there. He's steeped in Hebrew tradition. So the prophet Micah has taken from Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But listen to the formula here, the original text, right, in Deuteronomy. Micah has changed it a little bit. They do that. They're allowed. That's a whole other sermon. I'm going to say something about that here in a minute. But only, here's the answer. Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Isn't that interesting? Do you hear Micah in there? There's doing justice, there's loving kindness, and there's walking humbly with God. All of those elements are in the original text of Deuteronomy that probably Micah is offering just a little bit of commentary on. I spent a couple of days, and Don was out there too, at the Minister's Institute with a rabbinical scholar, and she does what's called Midrash, okay, and this is what rabbis have been doing for thousands of years. They read a text, and they ask questions of it. She has a book, this rabbi that we spent the days with, her book is called Reading the Bible with Question Marks, which I think is a great book title. And it's a good way to read the Bible with question marks. So they ask, well, what does this mean for us today? How do we implement Deuteronomy 10:12? How do we show fear of God, love of God, and walking with God, doing God's commandments? So Micah, maybe doing a little bit of midrash on Deuteronomy, says, he just breaks it down into threes. He knew way ahead of time that people love things in threes. Give them a short list. Don't give them a long list. 10 is way too many. I don't know who thought up those 10 commandments, but that's way too hard. So let's take all of the commandments and all the decrees of God, which started with a 10 list and it went to hundreds. I think there's 600 and something laws in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers. let's simplify it, right? How do we live every day exercising the 10 commandments, the 600 commandments, the decrees and the ordinances and the commands of Deuteronomy and Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus? Well, you do justice, you love kindness, and you walk humbly with your God. That's not a bad sentence for us. Back to the courtroom to revisit where we started. We're on trial for having offended God, for having overlooked or ignored the ways God's saving acts, exhibits A, B, and C, the way God's saving acts have always been available to us and part of our lives. And our restitution, the sentence that we must serve, is a life sentence. Bad news. Good news, it's a life sentence you get to serve where you are. I know about 600 women out in Mitchellville that would love to have that sentence. I'll just serve it where I am. Put an ankle bracelet on me and let me do my thing. Right? That's God's grace and love at work in our lives. You can serve this life sentence where you are, and you do it doing these three things. Making justice in your communities, in your nation, the way you rule, the way you govern, let justice prevail. And love kindness. Be nice to one another. I quoted Howard Stern yesterday in his service. Take care of the kids. His last words to me. Just take care of one another. Love kindness. And then this whole walk. Walk humbly with God. Know that the sentence, the life sentence that we all serve is a walk. It's a path. It's a daily practice. And it's a way of living in the world. The other thought I had about this is, again, I always come back to our vision or mission statement on the front of our bulletin. Maybe this is Midrash too. Maybe this is how we answer the question, how do we live as church in a way that fulfills God's law? And it's interesting that the three things, the three journeys that we're on here, the journey up is about loving God. The journey in is about loving kindness, creating connections between one another. And the journey out is about doing justice. Right? Sharing with the world our passion for justice and peace. This is our midrash. This is our way of answering the question, how shall we be in the world? Doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. So thanks for that. Thanks for being who we are. Thanks for being church the way we are. I think it's a faithful response in our world, and always good for us to continue asking the question, how shall we do these things in serving our life sentence of justice and peace on earth?